Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Learning to Fly the podcast. I'm so excited that we are here. It is June. We are back, and I am excited to introduce some new guests. Today, I am joined by Kaden, also known as Kira, and I'm joined by Sophie, and we're going to get more on who they are and why they're here in just a minute. We're changing the structure a little bit. Today's episode begins with a poem by Ollie Schminke, Probably Someone Has Died Inside Your House. Probably someone has died inside your house, at least if you live somewhere sexy and Victorian, built like 100 years ago. In my neighborhood, every apartment is also a museum. Milk boxes and secret stairs, the electricity wired on top of the walls, clawfoot tubs, the holes in the kitchen pantry where the rotary wall phone was installed and uninstalled. It wasn't until the last century or so that people started dying in hospitals and homes instead of at home. To whoever died here before I lived here, thank you for never painting over the original wood trim. Thank you for choosing dark cherry stain. Thank you for never forgetting the oven was on. Thank you for planting the tree outside my window. Thank you for the fountain in the yard. Thank you for your sweet, beautiful life. I hope you found whatever heaven you believed in. And if you'd like to read more from Ollie Schminke, the best place to do so is buying Dead Dad Jokes, published by Button Poetry.
Yeah, so for this poem, as a trans person, I find it kind of interesting with the relationship I have with myself pre-transition versus now. And I'm Kaden, sorry. Hi. So for me, I have been medically transitioned since I was about 17 hormone-wise, and I had top surgery about a year ago. So for all intents and purposes, I am completely male, present completely male. Anybody who knows me pre or post-transition, my bad, knows me as Kaden. Never different, and I'm not really out to a lot of people by choice. But it's interesting with my family, which is where the home aspect comes in. For that aspect, my family is extremely accepting. Nobody pretty much even batted an eye. You know, they were all right. I'm transitioned now. I have great relationships with everybody. And everybody acknowledges that I am extremely happy compared to where I was, you know, 5, 6 years ago. That comes into, or that brings in, I should say, the idea of also being called Kira, which is my dead name. For me, my dead name does not bring me distress as it used to, because I have transitioned. From that, I respect my old self. I do, because I laid the foundation for who I am today, and you can't have a home without a foundation. So to consider my old self completely dead and not remember them seems dishonorable in a way for me, because my old self made me.
And that's something that we talk about on the Learning to Fly podcast all the time. We appreciate where we come from, regardless of what road it was. and the only thing we can change is where we're going. And I think Kira is a great example of that. And the only reason I use Kira is I've known Kira since before the hormones. I've known Kira for a very long time. I've been friends with their family. I can't tell you how long. And I love each and every one of them dearly as if they were my own family. So today's episode, I'm already crying, is something that's really, really important to me. And I hope will be important to you guys as well. And that's where Sophie comes in. Sophie is Kira's sister, and refers to Kira as Sissy still. And there's a little bit of a dichotomy there, and there's a little bit of juxtaposition there, and there's a little bit of underlying love that can only be shown by families. And sometimes the way to show that isn't by changing the routine, it's by continuing with it lovingly, as if you had a nickname from birth. And I'm going to let Sophie pick up and talk about how she found this process and how maybe her opinions didn't change of Kira, but the things they did together, the ways they connected, changed regardless of the term.
Hi, I'm Sophia. I'm Caden's brother. I'm sister.
Sorry, we needed a laugh. I think Sophie could read that. So Sophie is sister, Kira Caden is brother.
Yes.
And I'm Maddie, you know me.
Hi, I'm Sophia, Caden's sister. And I refer to Caden as Sissy. Ever since I could remember, he has always been Sissy to me. Not necessarily Sissy because he was my sister, but Sissy because it was easier to say than Kira at the time.
Yeah, pretty much. She was like two, so getting her mouth around the K and the Y right next to each other was a lot. So Sissy it was. And that has been ever since. Like, you rarely call me Kira, and usually when you do, it's like
a
dire situation.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna die. So like, yeah.
And if you're up for it, Sophie, can you tell us a little bit about how the name maybe still is loving, or other ways that you appreciate who Caden is now?
Good question.
Or do you guys connect in different ways? And you can fill in too. I just was trying to give her some airtime.
I can't really explain it, but Sissy's just always been the name I've associated with Caden. And now that he's transitioned, even when he came out to me in the Yogurtland parking lot.
Smart.
I remember that vividly.
Smart.
You just looked over. You just looked over from the front scenes and, hey, I'm trans.
God, I'm bad at coming out, man.
Grandma was there.
Oh, man.
And I don't know. I know what to think. I just said, okay, you're still the same person. Nothing has changed. Oh, yeah. No, you have a beard now.
Yeah.
Which
it's still
is a great beard.
Oh yeah.
No, I just don't want
it. It's a wonderful beard.
I love it.
Do you want to elaborate a little more on maybe other ways the name is important, even if it doesn't resonate, or
yeah, so the biggest thing is it is who it comes from, not necessarily the name itself. Let's say I met someone new, and they happened to find out that my birth name was Kira, and they went from calling me Caden to calling me Kira. That is a clear disrespect, because I was introduced to them as Caden, as a man, and they clearly are using my birth name to
poke the bear
and diminish me, or it's because they now think of me as a woman, and my woman name is, you know, the one they connect with me, and blah, blah, blah. I don't know, you know. I don't know what goes on in their brain and where the wire gets crossed, but the wire gets crossed somewhere. So when my family says it, it's not a person who was introduced to me today. It's the kind of construction site workers, I guess, who were there when the foundation was laid, who were there watching the concrete dry and the grass grow.
We're there for all your ceremonies, for
yeah,
your events.
Graduations and proms and Korean awards,
yeah.
And yeah, and all of that stuff. So
And the people who, you know, got you your first job. Yeah. And were like, there for those milestones where Kira was the name.
Exactly. And for them, it is a memory. When they think of me at seven, they think of Kira. When they think of my prom, it's Kira. And that is not something to be ashamed of. And that's not something to be wiped from the slates of history, I don't think. Because I know for them, it is no disrespect. There is no disrespect. There is no derogatory connotation to it. They're not doing it to diminish me or say, we don't see you as who you want to be or anything like that. It's simply because that is the name that they have lovingly attached to me for now 20 odd some years.
And it's the name attached to those memories, those certificates, those things that are still a part of you, regardless of whether or not the name is valid. And I think personally, like, as somebody who has known you and somebody who can't get my head around the Kaden, which isn't about you, it's because it's filled with so much love of those times. And the times, like, for me, I'm a writer, and you guys know I always have a notebook. I've got all these notes signed Kira. I'm not going to fucking forget those. And I'm not going to go scratch them out and say, well, you got to sign them Kaden. Like, that's how I'm looking at it. I think there's so much more love and seeing these milestones and seeing the growth and knowing how important this was to you. A name is just a name. And I hate to quote Shakespeare for something like this because probably inappropriate, but what is a rose by any other name? It's still a fucking flower. Like, you know?
Yeah. It's oftentimes just the way I feel about it. And it definitely connects to my personality and the way that I kind of just rationalize things for sure. And I totally understand, you know, trans people being uncomfortable with being called their dead name because, you know, dead names, it's a landmine. It's an uncomfortable, distressing topic for many. But for me, I am far enough along now in my journey that I don't feel like I have to completely sever my life in half. I lived the double life for a long time, you know, being male at school, being female at home, and it's tough, but it was a hard-fought battle, and I feel like, you know, Kira kind of was a warrior, and warriors should be honored and remembered, even if only in a nickname. And that's just kind of how I think of it. It's like a nickname, a moniker of sorts, pen name. There you go. It's like a pen name, pseudonym, something like that. It's not, it may not be who I am now, but it was who I once was. And that is okay, because the old me is just as okay as the new me. I just personally like the new me better.
And I think that something that we need to address and all three of us need to talk on is if we were introduced to somebody, the way you're introduced to it is imprinted in your brain. Like,
first impressions.
Like, I was introduced to Sophie as Soap because it was a joke and your brother couldn't speak. Your act, like, Nico couldn't speak. He just said, oh, that's Soap. Not Soph, not Sophie, not whatever. So every once in a while, I slip up and I go, oh, yeah, hey, Soapy. Like, you know, because that's how I was introduced to you. And I know that's not your name, but it's funny. And I think, like, if you're introduced to somebody as something, it's imprinted. And what is the point of fighting that imprint or the blueprint even of that relationship? And I get it. If it upsets you, it triggers you, there's, you know, a connotation or a pang of guilt or maybe not guilt.
It triggers your dysphoria, that is one thing.
That's absolutely that's an entirely different conversation.
If that at that point, that's a respect thing. That is somebody seeing you and loving you and taking a step that they may not have taken otherwise to change in order to make you more comfortable. I just don't require that change to be comfortable. So
And unfortunately, this is the only experience we can talk about on the podcast as of now, because this experience is so personal. And because, yeah, we've got poetry and we've got music and we've got all this great art, but to actually have the hard conversations, which this podcast is known for, you got to really know someone. You can't just say, hey, you're trans, help me. You know, you have to know them. So we have one journey to talk about, and that's Cadence, or if you're, you know, in the loop, Kira.
Yeah, if you're one of the the OG fams from Pre-T, you are more than welcome to call me Kira. I have no qualms about it, no problems. You are all good, but if you just know me now, it's Caden.
It's absolutely Caden. And this is actually a great place to talk about today's sponsors. Just because we're welcoming back, I want to remind you, I make no money off of these. These are people I truly believe in. These are artists and creators who support the podcast. These are people that I truly believe we need to hear more from. And go check them out. Even if all you do is follow them, that's super important. So thank you, and we'll be right back.
This is Damien. Thanks for listening. You can find me on Instagram at Spasm of Feelings. I post every couple weeks. If you're looking for new poems or if you just want some pictures of my cat, you can check me out there.
Hey there, everyone. This is Madison from Learning to Fly the Podcast and sincerely Blue Jay Poetry. Today, I just wanted to take a second to let you know about Nourished and Free, a recipe ebook written by Gabby Sorensen, or Gabicado, my dear and lovely friend. Typically, this book retails for about $30, and you can find it in the episode description, but it frequently goes on sale as well. It's full of 80 easy, wholesome recipes that can be vegan, can be vegetarian, or you can mix it up and add your own proteins and your own favorite items. And it's really just a great thing to have in your repertoire. Alrighty, so I just wanted to take a second and let you know about Nourished and Free, one of the best ebook recipe guides I've come across so far. Thanks so much, and let's return to the episode. Alrighty, and as we come back, we actually have one of my personal favorite poems about this topic. We have a poem from Aphrodite Made Me Do It by Trista Mateer. If anyone has connections to Trista, I really want her on the podcast. I love her. I adore her. And her poems move me every goddamn time, even though I have no relation. They called me Gravedigger, shining queen of the underworld, Aphrodite the unholy. I had glorious names before they called me anything sweet, before they started calling me smile-loving, shapely Aphrodite. They took my name and dragged it through the mud kindly. They catcalled me until people couldn't separate my name from sex. They made me a goddess of love, then vilified me for loving freely, for kissing and fucking and strolling boldly down the streets of Cyprus. They married me off in the story so they could call me an adulteress. But I brought the god of war to his knees. I belong to no one. They never wrote that part down. And personally, I think the two poems go really well together because sometimes it's absolutely 100% about what you're being called. And sometimes it's about the why you're being called. And I think because Aphrodite is a goddess, is someone to be admiring of and to be, you know, appreciative of and adoring, it's really interesting that so many people use these ethereal names as their new names, and they want to embody this. They don't realize how much shit was thrown around. Or maybe they do, and that's why they choose these names, because they've been through the shit. I don't know. But I really love the juxtaposition of these two pieces together. And I love that a name is just a name, but also there's a reason for the name.
Yeah, I really like what you had to say about the sometimes it's not the name, but the why. Because that's the heart of it all. You know, you ask, you know, the who, the what, the where, that's all good context and, you know, good information to have. But if you want the nitty gritty, you got to get to the why. And that is exactly why I let my family continue to use the name Kira, because it is a name uttered with love. It is not malicious. They're not being mean. They're not diminishing me. It's an ode to the me that birthed me, I guess, you know?
And in a way, Trista's talking about that. She's addressing, they named me Aphrodite.
Yes.
They called me beautiful things, and then they built me into whatever the fuck they wanted me to be, and I still had that name. So this also goes to show that the dead names can be dead names, because yes, she absolutely outlived Aphrodite.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she built something else for herself, and in this case, I really think that's Trista building herself back up from whoever she's been. And I know Trista is queer. I don't know enough to know, like, where in that, but I still think it's a great commentary that can be taken this way. And I know Sophie is only 15, and is newer to the poetry and has Caden's love and support and everything. But I'm really interested what she got from this poem, and if there's a different perspective in general. Like, maybe this doesn't have to be a queer poem.
Yeah.
Or maybe it absolutely is, and we all see that. I'm really inviting Sophie to share what she got.
I'm not quite sure. I'm still thinking, but I definitely see it as a queer poem.
Were there lines that spoke to you?
I can't remember anything in specific. I have the brain of a goldfish, but I'll give it a reread.
Okay. Okay. Anything else you want to pick up on?
No, I think I'm all right for now.
Okay. And I realize that this is the first you're hearing from myself, from Caden, and from Sophie. There will be more episodes. And I think there's something really beautiful in that, because we don't have to squish a bunch of information into one episode. We do have about 10 minutes left of this one, though, so I think it's a good spot. Maybe we can answer some of the questions that got sent in.
Yeah, for
about
sure.
About being trans. Because I think Kira, and again, it's just love. I think Kira can
handle these.
There's
a little heart in the parentheses next
yes,
to it.
Yes, exactly.
Kira, parentheses, lovingly.
Exactly. So I know there's one that we keep talking about. We really keep hacking at this question because, A, I don't understand why it comes to us, and B, I want to get off the table. I want to say that's bullshit. We're done. But it's not my place to say it's bullshit. It's Cadence, and maybe it's not. So the first question that we get, and I got a lot of iterations of this question, and basically it was, do I have to be worried when I'm around my trans friends that they like me? That our relationship is going to change because I'm the shit.
Yeah, in an attraction way. So the way I view it is, it's basically just the trans version of the, but what if my gay best friend likes me argument? So, like,
they'll tell you.
That
and
argument
if they don't,
is,
it's
they'll
their
tell
problem.
You. And like,
I'm sorry.
Just because I'm a man that likes men doesn't mean that I oogle every man that walks by me or that I interact with. Just like you as a person probably doesn't oogle everybody that you find it attractive.
And if you do, I kind of want to chat with you.
Yeah, honestly. like, how does that go? Good for you. But we, just like normal people, find people that we are attracted to and find people that we are not attracted to in a romantic way, but may just be in a friendship way.
And we connect in different ways.
Because there's different kinds of love. You know, you got the Eros and the agape and all of that stuff. So there is many kinds of love, and not all of it leads to a bedroom. So
that's that.
That's that.
Our next question that we get a lot, and this one I'm taking much more seriously, and this one I think we could spend the whole time on, but I don't want to if we don't have to, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this is a great question. If I might be trans, how do I figure that out? What are resources that are available? What is the process like? How
So for
you get
me,
where I'm going with that. And we've gotten a lot of iterations of these, so I'm kind of conglomerating them.
Yeah, for me personally, because I wasn't raised with strict gender roles, I was never forced into a dress. I was never given a Barbie and told I can't play with a Tonka truck or something. I still went outside, played with my brother. We lived in the desert. We had 6 acres of land, so we went out motorcycling and cruising around the desert, picking up every lizard and snake we could find.
And throwing rocks at trees.
Yeah, no, we had a great time.
But they also did the girly stuff.
Like, yeah, I had Polly Pockets.
Those great flowers.
And I planted flowers. I had Polly Pockets. And I learned
cook,
to cook. Oh my God, I love cooking.
Like, you know, we associate that with being.
Because in my household, my dad was full blood Italian. So he was raised in a very gender specific household. And it was just, I guess, kind of the unspoken natural order of things that my mom cooked and my dad didn't do anything. So that also just, you know, kind of fell to my brother, who still sometimes claims he can't load the dishwasher because he doesn't know how. So,
but he also really can't cook.
But
so.
He cannot cook. Homeboy put a box of mac and cheese in the fridge because he didn't think he had the ingredients for it. So yeah, Kraft Mac. Yeah.
I love it because I was there for that and he wouldn't let me correct him. Okay, anyway.
So yeah, it's definitely interesting in that regard.
But so resources.
Resources, yes. I personally started finding my transness in disconnect and discomfort with my body first. It was beginning of middle school, you know, puberty starting to hit, the boys are getting little mustaches and the girls are getting boobs and, you know, all is well in the world.
All is natural.
Not well in the world for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And when that kind of started happening, that's when I was like, okay, you know, there's a problem here. And I'm a very logical person. So, you know, I just started, you know, Googling my symptoms like everybody else does. And I started finding information about trans people because I was looking up, you know, why do I not like being a girl? And, you know, that kind of stuff. And I found, I forget who it was specifically.
But internet.
And he was a YouTuber at the time who was pretty popular, trans man. I resonated with a lot of what he had to say, and not just in a, oh wow, that's neat, but like in a, oh my God, you are speaking to my soul. Like, I feel like we're sitting in a little room with a candle in the middle. Like, this is magical.
Yeah. So,
and
it's about doing the research and finding the stories that resonate with you and saying, okay, this person is trans, or okay, maybe this person is just bi, or maybe this person is
gay, non-binary,
or is just unsure and still discovering themselves, and you really want to find those stories that you resonate with and see which maybe not boxes you tick, but which ones you resonate with the most or most often before making any drastic changes. And I know that one is hard for Kira to say, which is why I jumped in.
Yes.
You can tell me if I'm wrong, but we've talked about this personally.
I do agree with you.
I don't know if you could say it on the podcast. You looked a little like I
no,
want
I
to,
will.
But I don't. So that's why I jumped
in. I feel like
in.
That's a good thing to talk about, actually, because there's, I guess, a way to interpret insecurity in self and the way that society treats you as wanting to disconnect from the body that you exist in and the body that has experienced traumas and the body that has experienced hell, which I completely feel you on that one. But being trans isn't just a Houdini act of escapism. It is a complete act of becoming.
You are literally the butterfly.
Whichever way you go. And it, there's a certain level of, I guess, maturity the topic has to be approached with, because you don't want to invalidate anyone's identity, especially when they're exploring, because that is part of it. You know, before I identified as a full trans man, I did identify as more on the genderqueer spectrum, kind of in the middle. And that at the time felt like it fit, but then it didn't. So it's about exploration and self-discovery, and there is no shame in believing that you're trans and then finding out later that you simply like to express differently, because gender expression and gender identity are independent of one another.
They do intersect.
They intersect and they bump into each other, but
they are independent entities.
Exactly, yeah. So something to consider. Definitely talk to, I talked to a few different psychiatrists. I would personally say I talked to a psychiatrist that did not specialize only in like trans issues. They also just were
family psychiatrist.
Family LMFT, you know. She gave me a lot of interesting points and kind of act as a sounding board for me to bounce my own ideas off of and hear a different perspective. And we did come to the conclusion that, yes, I am trans. But had we come to the conclusion that I was not, just as fine, because the journey to self-discovery is a winding one, and it zigzags and it loop-de-loops and it goes backwards sometimes.
And kind of like this episode, it is eternal in what it is. It will eventually have an ending, but that is a story that ideally will be carried on regardless of the generations, the aliens, the whatever may come. And we very much appreciate you for joining us on today's episode of Learning to Fly. Don't worry, there will be more conversations with Kaden and Sophie and possibly even their big brother, Nico. And, this is not a one and done. So trans, poetry and exploration and stories can be found here on the Learning to Fly podcast in case any of you have felt left out, alone, or unsure. Because as we know, learning to fly is a community, and all we want to do is uplift each other and remind each other, regardless of whoever the fuck you are or whatever the fuck you want to be, you are welcome. Thank you for tuning into today's episode, and we'll see you again tomorrow for more shenanigans.